he's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the week in review edition of the Best Stocks Now / Best Inverse Funds Now show. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. 23 years behind the trading desk here and 23 years behind the mic. And I'm joined again today by our chartered financial analyst, Barry Kite. Barry, it's been quite an interesting week.
Yeah, what a week. Of course, most of that's on our from our Russian counterparts, but also some interesting blend of economic news during the week as well. And I guess we're finishing up earnings with how many? I know you always keep percentage on how many have reported. We've got to be into the 80 or 90% at this point. Yep.
Yeah. You know, but you got to say that earnings took a back seat this past week. You know, nobody was really watching earnings reports. Instead, they were watching reports out of Ukraine and what was going on over there. And that had a major impact on the oil markets, gold, interest rates. You had a flight to safety there. The banks, just all kinds of collateral impact on the overall market, we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about the continued macro outlook for the market. We're going to tell the folks why we continue to have inverse funds in place as hedges against our long positions. And we're long in the areas that do well in an inflationary / rising interest rate environment. And we are avoiding, like the plague, those areas of the market that do not do well in a rising interest rate environment. So stay tuned here for today's Best Stocks Now show, Week in Review. And welcome to this week's Week in Review with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, the Best Stocks Now show. 23 years behind the mic, 23 years as a professional money manager. Hopefully I can help you make sense of what's going on in the world and how it impacts your 401k, your IRA, your Roth, whatever the case may be, your precious metals, your savings accounts. And I'm here with chartered financial analyst Barry Kite, who can help us take a look at the different effects that all of these events that are occurring in the world right now, whether it be inflation, whether it be a hawkish Fed ready to strike, whether it be Russian helicopters that have already struck, and what's going on in Ukraine. Will Russia stop there, or does Russia have greater ambitions? How about China and Taiwan? Well, there's a lot going on in the world right now. Let's kind of begin, Barry, with where we're at year to date. We're almost 2 months behind us in the rearview mirror. It hasn't been a good start to the year. The S&P is down about 10, 11% right now since the beginning of the year. But even worse than that, the NASDAQ is down about 14, 15% since the beginning of the year. And, you know, we've been talking, let's just set Ukraine aside for a moment. We've been talking until we're blue in the face about the rising interest rate environment that we are now in and the hawkish stance by the Fed. I would just say that I don't think that the events in Ukraine are going to stop the Fed or slow the Fed down at all. Would you agree with that assessment?
Yeah, I would, and actually, it may give them some extra cover. From two perspectives. Number one is, as we've been talking, is I think this conflict introduces a new round of potential future inflation, as we've mentioned, in terms of the amount of grain that comes out of those two areas, of course, Russian gas and natural gas, oil as a member of OPEC Plus. So those are, to me, those are more potential, right, inflation tailwinds, which is going to, kind of, lead the Fed even, more down that path, right, of raising rates. But the interesting thing is, as you've touched on earlier in the week, is with, as tensions and global tensions, you've got the flight to safety, which is why we've seen kind of gold tick up. But we've also seen treasury yields, stay below 2% and they're kind of getting pinned down a bit because of everyone, flight to dollars or flight to U.S. treasuries. So your demand's picked up for those notes, which is actually keeping a lid on interest rates.
Yeah, temporary lid.
To a certain extent. Yeah.
I'm going to get right to the bottom line for the investors out there, what it means for them. We completely started backing off 1 year ago from the high flying tech stocks. That stuff that's out there, way out there on the spectrum, the innovation stocks, the long duration stocks that someday might be profitable. That's the worst place you could possibly be. It's been the worst place you could possibly be for the last year. And it doesn't look like it's going to get any better for that area of the market because you're going to continue to see, in our opinion, rising interest rates. Number two, it's not a good environment for technology stocks. If you step up to the big ones, Microsoft, Amazon, Netflix, Google, Facebook, now known as Meta, it's not a good environment for them either. There's going to be some brief rallies. We saw one yesterday because they were so oversold. But they still have very high P.E. ratios. And a rising interest rate environment punishes the higher P.E. stocks. And the money leaving those higher P.E. stocks goes to lower P.E. stocks, such as banks, insurance companies, financials, commodities, energy, oil and gas. And I know that's not as exciting. It's not as sexy as a flying robo-taxi, that's going to pick you up at the airport and deliver you to the hotel. But it's just a fact of life. And you know that as a chartered financial analyst that rising interest rates, stocks with high P.E. ratios, anything like over 16, I would say, not a good place to be. And in addition to that, bond funds are getting smashed. The average bond fund so far this year down about 6%. They've paused for now the sell-off in the bond funds because of what you said, the flight to safety, which is temporary in the bond market while Russia invades Ukraine. We're in a rising interest rate environment. Now, it's okay to buy individual bonds and hold them to maturity, but bond funds, all types of bond funds, Barry, municipal bonds. I'm seeing Ginnie Mae funds sell off. I'm seeing long duration. I'm seeing foreign global bond funds sell off. Bond funds are a terrible place to be. I don't care what your asset allocation says. Now, you're also a certified financial planner. Barry, what if I'm 75 years old and the asset allocation model says I should have 75% of my money in bond funds despite a rising interest rate environment? What do you think about that?
Yeah, well, number one, we probably shouldn't have that much given this environment, right? Let's just say we stayed at that level, right? But, some of that you certainly need to probably just turn into cash at this point. Yes, you're missing out. You're not going to get much interest, and of course, we've got the inflation bug to deal with. But it's not going down, right? And the problem, the biggest problem, is just with bond funds in general. Is in an environment where you as an investor, you may be okay with bond exposure, but if everyone else is running for the door in your bond mutual fund, right? That selling into weakness is going to affect you. And that's why, in general, that's why we have our clients hold the individual bonds, because you're going to have certainly still see some of that price fluctuation in the interim, but it's under your purview and under our purview, right, to actually decide to liquidate the bond. We can hold that bond to maturity. We can liquidate that bond a year and a half from now, right? We don't have to sell into that weakness, which is just the inherent, you know, structural issue in terms of getting that exposure through a bond mutual fund.
Yeah, so we currently at our firm, Gunderson Capital Management, which is a virtual nationwide firm that serves folks all across America, we have zero exposure to bond funds, okay? For our safe income, we're owning individual bonds, okay? Secondly, we have zero exposure to the high-flying tech stocks that have been crushed. They're down 50 to 60% over the last 12 months. And we have very little exposure to the next tier of technology stocks, you know, your blue chip, your FANG-type stocks. What do we like in this environment? Get our newsletter, GundersonCapital.com. We put it out every week, two free weeks, GundersonCapital.com. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second quarter of this week's Best Stocks Now, week in review from Gunderson Capital Management, a virtual nationwide firm with radio shows across America, clients from all over America. I'm the portfolio manager and the CEO here at Gunderson Capital Management. You can set up an appointment with us, a virtual appointment. You don't have to worry about getting a parking place or fighting downtown traffic. You can call us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST to talk to us. You can also get the newsletter that I've been writing for the last 23 years, two free weeks. It only goes out to the client, our clients and our live trading subscribers. We have a lot of do-it-yourselfers that follow us and our research and what I'm doing in the market. I think we've given them some pretty good advice here over the many years, and you can get that newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. Okay, we talked about the bond market. We don't like bond funds at all right now. They're in harm's way. As interest rates go up, bond funds go down. We don't like high PE, high tech, which has led us to where we are today for the most part over the last several years, but there's cycles in the market. We've had a 40-year cycle of interest rates going down. Yes, that's right, a 40-year cycle. The bond market had the wind at its back. Stocks had the wind at its back for the last 40 years. Now we've got a problem. And I would say that that problem can be summed up in the word inflation, which we'll talk about here in a moment. I just want to talk about stocks in general right now. Now, we're not bearish on the stock market entirely right now. In fact, we've been bulls since 2009, and we're now in the 13th year of the longest bull market in history that has carried the S&P 500 from 660 to 4,700. It's carried the Dow from 6,800 to almost 37,000, and now we're in the midst of a correction during that 13-year bull market. The NASDAQ is teetering right now. It's the weakest of all, and it's because it tends to be more high PE, that's price-to-earnings ratio stocks, than the Dow and the S&P 500. So we are still bullish on the macro outlook of the overall market, but we're bearish on the higher PE stocks, okay? And in general, if you have a 401k, we personally prefer value right now over growth, okay? That's a big shift for us because we're growth investors. But value implies lower PE ratios, lower price to sales ratios, etc. Now, where are you going to find, well, in your 401k, you're generally given a choice of value funds or growth funds. We prefer value right now, and we prefer the United States. We don't like anything really outside of the U.S. We haven't for quite some time. Europe, Chinese stocks, no way. You know, Latin America, no, not a good place to be. And as it relates to the types of stocks and the sectors, you're going to find, Barry, where are you going to find most, what are the low PE sectors right now in the market?
Right. Well, they're going to be the sectors that no one no one cared about, right? About a little over a year ago. Now that we're here in February, but certainly your oil and energy names. Some of your consumer staples. The only issue is with consumer staples, given the fact that you usually have low growth, right? I mean, you look at Procter and Gamble
and an inflation problem,
right
now.
Input cost issues, but especially your regional banks, your insurers, healthcare has been a kind of a, always been a defensive place. The only problem that's kind of throws us off there is, of course, COVID and Omicron in terms of, how that's going to play out. So that creates, a bit more risk in our opinion, at least in the healthcare sector. So kind of takes them off the list. But yeah, most of the industries you haven't heard about for the last year and a half, those are tend to now be, right?
Well, Barry, there's
the low PE names.
There's nothing more exciting than an insurance stock, AIG. But that's where right now. Okay, I would add a couple more sectors too to that list. I would add the commodity sector, copper, the Freeport MacMarans of the world, the BHPs, the mining companies.
Your miners.
And I would add the gold sector right now. For the first time in quite a while, we have exposure to gold because it does, gold stocks, because it does well in these kinds of times with the global conflict, inflation. And for the most part, those are low PE stocks too. I think, for instance, Barrick Gold, I think the PE ratio is about 9. And those are some of the strongest stocks in the entire market right now. And also, I would add to the banking and financial sector, they do well in a rising interest rate environment. The tide is finally coming in. A 40-year cycle has reversed. The Fed is not going to slow down. You look for at least 4, 5, 6, 7 interest rate hikes this year. That's a given. That's a sure thing. This whole situation in Ukraine has not made it any better for the Fed because, in fact, it's made it worse. Why the inflation picture? I watched this past week. I look at about 1,000 stock charts every day. I'm bleary-eyed by the end of the day, but I've done that for 23 years, and that's where I learn everything I need to know about the market to make the decisions. And I generally have a very good feel for what's going on in the various areas of the market. The charts that really stood out to me this past week were the big moves higher in wheat, which, there's an ETF, the wheat ETF. Yes, you can invest in wheat. The corn ETF, the soybean ETF, the grain ETF, the natural gas ETFs, the oil ETFs. Every one of these are inflationary in nature. And these ETFs are pretty much futures. They're futures. They're based on futures. And if they're going up, that means that the future prices of all your products that contain wheat, wow, that's about everything, including your Dunkin' Donuts, to your Dave's bread, to your hamburger buns, to tortillas. I mean, corn, soybean, grain, natural gas, which goes into fertilizer, on down the road, prices are going higher. I don't think the inflation problem, in fact, now we're talking double-digit inflation, 10% or higher. Germany over the weekend reported 25% producer price index increase, the highest since World War II. So how do you navigate this environment? Well, actually, there's a lot of money-making possibilities if you understand how these different forces are at work right now, what benefits and what doesn't benefit. Get our newsletter this week, GundersonCapital.com, 2 free weeks, GundersonCapital.com. We'll be back for the second half of this week's Week in Review. Welcome back here to the second half of this week's Best Stocks Now show, Week in Review, brought to you by Gunderson Capital Management, a virtual nationwide firm. Our number, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, if you'd like to talk to us. One thing I would say, I think the whole issue of active versus passive has to be addressed here. Barry, we never drank. I've been in the business for 23 years. I've seen the Kool-Aid being passed around on Wall Street, moving people into a passive investment environment. So if you're 70 years old right now, you would more than likely have 70% of your portfolio in bond funds. That makes no sense to me. Age is an important factor, but The situation in the world, what the Fed is doing, what the interest rate environment is looking like, that's also very important, and that needs to be taken into account. Likewise, if you're 50 years old, let's say 60 years old, you should have 40% of your money into the stock market. Well, what if we go into a recession? What if we go into a bear market? I've witnessed two major bears. The NASDAQ went down 80% in the year 2000, and in the year 2008, the S&P went down 53%. So I also feel like as a money manager and looking out for my clients, I have also a duty as a fiduciary to try to protect when things happen. We're not in a recession yet. There will be another recession. There's a big portion of the market that's now in a bear market. I think I read this morning, Barry, that 48% of the NASDAQ stocks are down 50% or more. And we got out of those high-flying NASDAQ stocks 1 year ago, over 1 year ago, when interest rates started moving up because we felt they were in harm's way. That's the difference between passive, active management versus passive management. And as the Fed has rattled their saber more and more and more here in recent months, we've continued to back out of the growth area of the market and shift over to the value side, low PE side of the market. So, yeah, just weigh in a little bit there. You're a certified financial planner, Barry, and you're also a chartered financial analyst, so you watch the big picture of the market. There's problems in that passive model, we feel.
Right, and the thought process, where a lot of these rules of thumb come from, right? And if you hit the nail on the head, you take a 2000 or 2004, financial planning book, right? And they're gonna, that rule of thumb in terms of, whatever your age is, right, is the amount of bond exposure you should have. That worked in kind of a normal interest rate environment, right? Where you had, interest rates at say 5%, what 08 and 09 has told us, and then a repeat in March of 2020 is that, the reason we have bonds in the portfolio or in your allocation isn't necessarily for return. It's also for a degree of safety, right? To balance out some of that equity risk you're taking. And, bond mutual funds just broke down. They didn't provide that safety in 08-09, and they didn't, same reason the Fed had to step in March of 2020 is because they had to become a buyer of bonds because everyone was running for the door at the same time. Going forward, your expected return, right, of of a bond portfolio, for example, is going to be much lower than it was, say, 15 years ago. And so that percentage has to change because folks are living longer, right, in life. So you're going to have, folks tend to have, and certainly our clients, tend to have, hold more percentage of equities longer in life nowadays.
Yeah, and the other thing I would add there, you brought up a good point on age. You know, if you're nearing retirement or in retirement, we could end up in an environment here where that's not good for bonds or stocks. You know, if interest rates continue to go up, which we think they're going to, that is not good for the bond market. And if we go into a recession, that's not good for stocks. So I would argue I wouldn't have exposure to either one of those asset classes. If you're 67 years old, 80, 75 years old, and not able to go back to work, you've got to protect. And the asset allocation model does not really provide for that. What if those two asset classes, neither one of them is favorable? They're both in harm's way. So that's why I could not be a passive investor or money manager. I just couldn't do it. I have to be active and alert all the time to what's going on in the world.
And we could both argue all day long that both of those equities and portions of the equity and bond markets are always under some kind of fire, right? I mean, it's not all sectors aren't firing on all cylinders at all times, right?
No,
regardless, you still got to pick and choose where you're going to be within those two asset classes.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so now that brings up another point here. I'm just going to go one step further here. There's an asset class that we've deployed here this year and currently have it deployed. We only deploy it when I feel like it's needed. I learned 20 years ago. I've been a professional money manager for the last 23 years. I was an analyst for several years at the beginning of my career, writing up research reports. But I was turned on to the inverse ETFs by ProFunds. A wholesaler came to our business, which, the wholesalers used to come around all the time, hawking their wares, telling us about their ETFs, their mutual funds. And this guy happened to be from ProFunds, ProShares at the time, and they had mutual funds that were inverse. Okay, so let's say you think the NASDAQ is in big trouble, which it has been. It's down 20% from its high. Well, there's an inverse fund on the NASDAQ. It behaves exactly inverse to the NASDAQ. And now, since then, of course, the ETFs have come along, and there's an inverse ETF on almost every asset class right now. You can have an inverse ETF on the biotech sector or China or the emerging markets or the Dow or the S&P, and they trade just like bull ETFs. You can own SPY, which is the S&P 500, or you can own a little bit of SH. And, having some exposure to those inverse funds, we've picked on some of the most vulnerable areas in the market with the current little batch of inverse ETFs that we own. We've picked on the biotech sector because it doesn't do well in a rising interest rate environment. We've picked on Cathie Wood's ARK funds. We own SARK, which is the inverse of ARK funds. That thing has done very well for us. We've picked on the NASDAQ a little bit. We've picked on the Russell 2000 small cap index, which is very vulnerable. And on these days, when the market's down, you get up and the market, the futures are down 500 points, we feel pretty good because those inverse funds are going to be way up on days like that. Now, the downside of that is if we go back into a ferocious rally, which I don't foresee anytime soon, you got to get out of those inverse funds pretty quickly. And get over. Now, having said that, we still own a lot of very good, high-quality, low-PE stocks. We own Micron, for instance. We own Seagate Technology. We have a lot of oil stocks that we currently own. Our what was it yesterday that just took off? Was it Devon Energy or was it LNG? It was LNG.
LNG was the one, you know, on the day of the invasion. Yeah, I think LNG yesterday, at least in the morning, it was up, you know, 7-8%. We also have exposure to your bread and butter tech names, Apple, Microsoft, right?
Exactly.
So we're gonna participate, right? The trick is you want to have enough defense on the field, but then also have enough positions where, you know, if the market does go up, right, then you have you've got some names that are going to benefit there. So you're straddling the fence to a certain extent, right? And you're kind of hedging out, you know, certain parts of the market and benefiting from the other side.
But having that protection, which I felt was necessary back starting in about mid-January of this year, we were right. And we put some protection in, and it's paid off for us. Well, you can reach us at 855-611-BEST, and you can get 2 free weeks of my weekly newsletter. It's in-depth. It shows you what we own currently. GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com.
This is Bill Gunderson. You gotta go where you wanna go. Do what you want, you wanna do it. It's the weather. You wanna do it. You gotta go where you wanna go. Do what you want, you wanna do it.
And welcome back to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. By the way, we have a radio show Monday through Friday, in addition to our Saturday show. I broadcast here from my home office in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina, and that show goes out to many stations across the country. I do it live at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can listen on our website, GundersonCapital.com. We also have an app that I invented called Best Stocks Now app, which has 6,000 different stocks, mutual funds, ETFs in it. You can listen there, BestStocksNowApp.com, or any of the podcast sites. You can find us and listen at your leisure, the Monday through Friday show. It's a one-hour show. It's, you know, what's happening in the market every single day. We try to stay on top of the current events taking place and how it impacts you. The Best Stocks Now show, which you're hearing the Week in Review show here today. I've had 23 years behind the mic as a talk show host about the stock market. The rest of the day, I manage money. I do all my research before the show. That research comes in handy as my main occupation is managing money for folks. I'm a fee-based money manager. We don't do any commission products. We don't sell annuities. We manage money for folks, and we're active. We're not day trading, but we're looking at the big trends. We've had a massive adjustment to the big trend with this ending of 40 years of falling interest rates, and now we're entering a new trend of rising interest rates, and we're dealing with something that I haven't dealt with since the 70s and early 80s, that monster called inflation. It's showing up everywhere, and the situation in Ukraine is only going to make it worse. We watched wheat charts this past week, soybean, corn, oil, natural gas. They're all breaking out on the futures. That means higher prices down the road. So you have to invest differently in a rising interest rate inflationary environment than, like, say, 2020, which was the COVID year. We were all over the more speculative stocks, the electric vehicles, the stay-at-home, work-from-home stocks. That was a totally different year than this year, which presents a unique set of challenges. Now, we have decided this year to pick on, through inverse funds, a lot of the areas that are in harm's way right now, which we've kind of outlined during the show, high PE stocks, bond funds. Yes, there's inverse ETFs on bond funds also, which come in handy right now as interest rates go higher. And we've chosen to be in the sectors of the market that do well, that benefit in a rising interest rate environment. So that's our 1-2 punch here for 2022. And, of course, we manage them very meticulously throughout the day, each day. I compare myself, Barry, to a fishing guide here. Those guys are on the water every day. They have a big advantage to a guy like me who, like, you know, maybe once a month, twice a month, fires up the outboard engine, gets out there and tries to do a little fishing. I'm not in the know like those guys are. In fact, I go to people for intel before I go fishing. Well, that's what I provide. I provide intel on the observations that I make on my daily trip through the market. I'm up to my eyeballs in the market daily. And, you know, we talk about it, Barry, on the newsletter every day, and I sum up my observations and advice in the newsletter every week. And I'm sure you understand that analogy there.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was going to take it just one step further, is that that intel is even more important, right, in my opinion, in this type of environment, right, because it's certainly a fluid situation, whether it's, you know, economically or geopolitically. Just like nowadays, right? You're riding around in the boat trying to chase the fish, right? It's costing a lot more to fill that boat up with gas,
ooh,
right? So your excursions, right, are more expensive. So you need to make sure you get your you get an extra call into one of those guides and see where, you know, get you in the right direction early.
That's right. It cost me $50 worth of gas just to get to the gas station here on the harbor.
Right. Yes, exactly.
less than one mile per gallon. So I have to make my trips as economical as I possibly can. Okay, now here's my last point I'm going to make. So I'm a guy who sits there. I look at probably 500 to 1,000 different charts per day. I use MarketSmith, which I've used for many, many years. It's an investor's business daily product. It used to be I looked in the books that were delivered to my driveway every Saturday, and I'd go through those and mark up all the charts in those books. Well, now it's all online, which makes it a lot easier. I can create my groups that I flip through. I can just tell you that as I look through 500 to 1,000 charts, I go ugh more often than not. And I go ugh when I see Carvana. I go ugh when I see Zoom Technology. I go ugh when I see Roku. These stocks have just been clobbered. They're down 50 to 60%. And, you know, people that still own them, they obviously have no sell discipline whatsoever. I saw this in the year 2000. I saw investors, I saw professional money managers ride stocks down 70 to 80% and never do a thing. That, to me, is just absolutely ridiculous. And other stocks in the market, I say, you know, that looks kind of interesting. That looks much, and the common theme that I see, high PE stocks, I go, ugh. And low PE stocks, which I can see on the chart, the PE ratio, I say, wow, it's doing a lot better than the high PE stocks. And unfortunately, like I say, it's not as exciting, but the market, you have to avoid the areas that are getting clobbered. There's many areas getting clobbered right now, and you have to take advantage of the companies that, you know, have the wind at their back in this unique environment that we have right now. So anyways, I would just say, begin, you know, you can do a little research on us and who we are, Gunderson Capital. You can get the newsletter that I put out every week. It's my internal research. It's my internal research that I share with the public. I make it available. You can see our different portfolios. You go to GundersonCapital.com. And if you'd like an emergency checkup right now, temperature gauge is starting to peg on red, you can reach us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. This is a very treacherous market right now. Be careful out there and have a great weekend.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities.
Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.